This is As of Late Podcast. It's your boy Titus, and we got Nadia Nympho. What's going on with your girl?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Chilling. Good to have you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little nervous today.
Don't be nervous. We tried to get the nerves out. We talked a little bit beforehand, but you know, like I told you, it comes natural. It's just nerves.
Yeah.
We all got them. If you don't got them, that means you ain't living. You know, you ain't alive if you don't.
No, that's right.
Yeah. How are you though? How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I just worked. Mm. And I just work a lot, so.
That work grind.
Yeah, trying to grind, trying to stay busy.
Mm-hmm. Same here. It was a busy week work-wise, but we got it done. Mm-hmm. You know, glad to have a day off and really sit back and get to know you a little bit. So, born and raised here?
I'm born and raised in Charlotte.
Okay, Charlottetalian. What side of town?
Well, I grew up on the north side, and then...
Raise your thumbs up. I'm just
what thumbs like this?
Yeah, you ain't never heard that song, no.
And then I moved to the west side. So
okay.
That's where I reside, on the west side.
Word. So did you go to school on the north side, and then?
Yeah, I went to Mallet Creek, and then I was failing like pretty much all my classes, so they like put me on a program to where I could graduate on time. So I went to Hawthorne, and it was like a school with like. People who were pregnant.
I know what Hawthorne is. That's where people that was pregnant.
I was a problem child.
I was about to say, niggas that's banging on niggas go to Hawthorne.
Yeah.
I know about, it used to be something else. It used to be, not Hawthorne, it was another one that started with like an M. I can't remember.
Marie G. Davis?
I don't know. It might have been that, but that was the original spot, because like I know for a fact you going to Mallet Creek, I'm older than you, because
yeah, Mallet Creek was new.
Yeah, Mallet Creek wasn't in the picture. Like my nephew shout out to Solomon, went to Mallet Creek, and he's a youngin', so you got to be in probably like your 20s.
Yeah, I'm 28.
Okay, yeah. So you're not too far off, but dang, Mallet Creek been out that long?
Yeah.
Dang, that's what's up. Yeah, 28. I'm 33, so we ain't that not as far apart as I thought.
Yeah.
But I'm to the point where I knew Mallet Creek was non-existent. It was a lot of people was either going to Vance at that time.
Yeah.
Or Ganger that stayed around that area.
Yeah.
But yeah. So bouncing back, never been around the east side really?
A little bit. I had an ex-boyfriend that used to live over here. I used to be at his house all the time. So I used to drive 30 minutes to come over here. But other than that, not really.
That's love right there. That may be the reason why we get songs like "Don't Call My Phone" because of exes like that.
Yeah, he probably saying that. Don't call my phone.
Oh, so it's the other way around.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh man, I definitely want to get into that project, because listening to it with the titles like that, I was like, who broke this girl's heart to where she mad at this nigga? Daggone, you weren't playing out there out west. Now, were you, just before I get into it, like, were you out west, or were you talking about literally west side of Charlotte? Were you talking about west Charlotte?
No, I was actually out west. So I'm a little like neurotic, and I'm impulsive, and I do stupid shit.
What does neurotic mean, if you don't mind me asking? I don't know what
it is. Like a little mentally unstable.
Okay.
That's what that means.
A little bit off there.
Yeah. So basically I met this guy off Instagram, and me and him like were friends, and he invited me to come out there. He had got me a job and everything. So I went out west to live, and things fell apart within like 3 weeks, but I just went and recorded that album.
Wild on the West?
Yeah.
Dang, that's gangster. That's a gangster.
Yeah. With the last $200 I had, because he told me I had to leave within like 3 weeks. So I just went out there, recorded it, and came back with it. So wow. I just named it Out West.
Dang, that's dope, yo. That's dope. I mean, it probably wasn't dope at that moment, you going through like
hell the stuff. No. Going,
but looking back on it, like kind of like what we talked about before the interview, like you don't like going through certain situations, but that EP can be like a process of healing for a lot of people, like
yeah.
For especially females that's going through similar situations, or people like myself that like been in long distance relationships. Like I had a situation like that where it was like I met a girl through Instagram, went out west, it didn't work out, brought my ass right back to the east side. So, but this was San Diego, and so like I can relate.
But it's a memory that you hold, right?
Mm-hmm. And I don't take nothing from it. You know, yeah. Like even like it's certain things where it's like you'll go through certain triggers where it's almost like PTSD for certain things, because it'll try to bring trauma. But at the same time, I try to do a good job of like bringing out the good of certain, bringing out the good of those moments instead of the dramatic moments. Like, but all my exes, like I could, it was a time where I couldn't sit in a room with them because like I was just still holding, like harboring over pain of like past. And but I'm at a place right now where it's like I've taken the good with that. And I've taken the bad.
Yeah, you transmuted it.
Mm-hmm. Right. In similar times, I would just take the bad, be like, oh, man, she was an asshole. It was just like the good of it now would be like, man, I wouldn't have known how to do certain like vocal stuff if it wasn't for her. Like, or like that girl taught me about taxes, you know, like, so like,
no, that's true.
You take what you learn from the people and you move forward. And I could definitely sit in the room with all of them now because I'm at a place of peace. And so that takes time. That takes growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it's needed for everybody. It's just to have that growth and really just letting stuff go, because it's a waste to, it's not harboring on nobody but you.
Yeah.
You know, that toxic stuff like we talked about previously. Yeah. You keep that stuff inside, it's hurting you. It's damaging you.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I don't know. I feel like when you start going through a lot of things in life, you learn to take the blessing within things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that situation, it didn't end the way I wanted it to, but there were so many blessings in it, and I transmuted it into something beautiful, so I don't harbor any ill feelings. But I wish I would be out there now, but I mean, that wasn't what was meant to be. So
yeah,
I got an EP out of it. Mm-hmm. So
you got an EP you got an EP out of it, and like that was just at that time it didn't work out, you know. It could be, I have plenty, the world does it like that, the universe does it like that. Well, you'll have these full circle moments where it's just like you'll come back, it could be 3-4 years from now, and you be out there established even more. Mm-hmm. With your camp, and you're like, yo man, I remember when I first came out here, like telling them the story at lunch or something about going there for a nigga and not working out. But the therapy of that was out west, and like, you know, like that was therapeutic for you to get that stuff out and bring it into like something that's a solid EP, as opposed to a lot of people, they don't know how to be therapeutic in certain ways. And so expressing themselves may go to the point of going to the bar every night, or, you know, fighting with their like wife or spouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't know.
I've been there too.
Yeah. I mean, like you take all that stuff. You know, like we all go through those phases, just like venting in different ways. But I try to do it in a way now where it's not all that, you know, like instead of like going to a bar, and like I've gone to bars, like when I was in toxic mind frames, like I've gone to bars with the intention of like, I'm gonna get drunk and I wish somebody would do something. like for sure. Like, I'm just being honest, because I would be so mad during that day. Like when my homie died, like I went out there on a, like I remember it's like it was yesterday, because it was like Snug Harbor, and they were doing, you know, Sundays they do like karaoke and shit. And I went out there, like I was so mad that he passed away. I was already drinking at the crib when I found out. And then I went out there because somebody else was out there, like, yo man, meet me out there, man, because he was telling me about the news of Buddy passing away. And I was like, man, I'm going out there, like I just want to kill something, to be honest with you. I was just like on some like destruction path. I was just like, anybody say anything, because I was at a place where it was just like, some of the people that I ain't really fuck with at that time, I know they harbored around that way anyway. I was like, if I see this nigga, this is the day to see this nigga. And so it was just like, that was therapy for me, releasing it in that sense. Like, some people go through, like, you know, going to strip clubs and like feeling that emptiness void with, you know, giving money out to people and, you know, having exotic dancers and stuff like that. Some people buy this stuff to where it's like they're addicted to like, you know, buying stuff and buying fashion stuff, and they'll still have that void on the inside of them. And so everybody has their different type of ways of like coping and therapy. So it's dope that you have it, like you were saying, that we have it in a realm where it's positive.
Yeah,
because like it's so many different avenues that you can go that can be toxic.
Yeah, I've been there. I don't know, I've been through drug addiction or something I'm still dealing with now. And sometimes I do indulge in stuff that's not healthy, and I hate that for me, but I'm learning to make my creativity my vice and not look to drugs and pills and all types of things to, you know, release whatever I feel inside. And that's, it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one day at a time, you know.
Yeah.
It got me to a point to where it was like, every situation that I've had with drugs, like, I had to stop. Like that's one thing that I'll say. Like, any situation with God, when it was like I stopped doing drugs, like, it wasn't because of my own will. Like, it was because either, even with drinking, like, I got to a point where it was just like I was getting infections, and it was just like, yo, they were like, yo, you gotta slow down from drinking, dog. Like, I was getting like fainting and like getting like hot, thinking I'm having heart attacks, but I was having an infection. That's how bad the infection was. Where I had to go to the emergency room, and it was just like, bro, like, it was that year I was telling you when my homie died, to the point they were like, you have to calm down from drinking. And so I remember I was just like, I'm just gonna dead it all, because I either gotta go to the left or go to the right. I got an addictive personality. I can't go in the middle. Like, I can't just have a drink, because a drink for me is gonna go to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, if I'm gonna do this, I gotta just end everything. It was the same with like pills, and like, I got to a point where it was just like, the most least thing I think that would affect me was weed, but that was the thing that almost killed me, because somebody daggone put fentanyl in my weed, to where it was just like, it about killed me because of what fentanyl does to people. And they laced my weed to the point where I almost died, almost overdosed. And it took that moment for me to be like, I stopped trusting people. Like, I was just like, now, of course, the times have changed. You probably get weed, you know, dispensaries, and like, this is when you still had to. We in a state where you still gotta ask niggas for shit. And so you don't know where this nigga getting this shit from. And so, like, that's the case that happened to me, to where I was just like, I don't trust anything. Like, I don't trust myself around that stuff. But I say that to say, my will didn't come from something just clicking and just like, I gotta stop. Like, the will, sadly, all of my scenarios came from me
being pushed to stop.
Yeah, I was pushed to the point of stoppage. If not, it would have ended my life.
Yeah.
And so, God forbid, of course, I'm not saying that's going to get you to a level like that at all. Like, nowhere near me. But if you're already, one thing I'll say about it, though, like, with drinking, it was like this. I already mentally knew it was time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when it's time. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, if you're in that mind frame where you feel like, I'm getting there. It's only a matter of time you're gonna stop on your own will.
Like, yeah.
And so that's the good stage about what you're talking about. It was like, you already know, like, I don't need to do too much of this. Having that mental state already. Because some people, they ignore that. You know, they ignore that to the point of just like,
I think it's too realizing that you have a problem with things. Sometimes we just look at things as little vices here and there. But I feel like once you get to the point where it's like, I can't function without something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get through my day without being high, or, you know, I'm numbing myself constantly and I can't be productive. That's when you need to be like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel myself more coming into that mindset of like, yo, this is not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurting me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times you don't realize, because things gradually increase. It might just start as you going out to the bar every now and then, but then you get bad news and you drinking like a whole bottle of liquor.
That's how it was for me.
Mm-hmm. It's not funny, but
I mean it's real, keeping it real. Like, that's usually how it starts, though, right? Like,
yeah. And it only takes one traumatic instance for you to just be like, yo, let me just get two bottles, I just want to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, every week you doing that.
Yeah.
So
I gradually seen, like, when I start looking back, I seen the progression. And that's another thing, like you said, like, if you can't go a day without it, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I start seeing how much of a crutch that it was. And I start seeing my progression to the point of where, like, I went from socially drinking, where I would only do it when I'm like, because, like, I'm mad awkward out. Like, and so the main reason I would get a beer is, like, I was joking earlier with Ricky Bobby, I didn't know what to do with my hands. So it's just like,
yeah,
at least with a beer, like, I can hold it and, like, move around. And, like, it just seems like I'm a social dude with that, as opposed to just having my hands in my pocket. Like,
social anxiety is a motherfucker.
Like, and so that was the main reason of starting the drink. But then it got to a point where, you know, I went from two drinks to not just beer, having wine, and not just having beer and wine, but then getting 1800 and at the bar. And then it went from that to where I'm going to the ABC store myself. I was like, God, dog, it got to this point. I'm buying this shit, like, to just take to the crib. And the final time was just like, I was getting 2 1800s. I was getting Coors Light 15s, and I was running through it. And it was just like, I started looking, because at that time, like, still, my roommate is my brother, my older brother. And he would have a shot every now, like, he would have a couple shots with me every now and then. We both stopped doing everything. But I was looking at the bottle, and I was like, that nigga ain't drinking like I'm drinking. Like, this is all me. Like, yeah. And that's a problem. And then a combination of that with, I just woke up and was just like, heaviness. I couldn't even like walk. Like I said, that infection, that's what did it for me.
It's a blessing to realize things. Some people don't even realize things until it's too late.
So. Sad. I've had a lot of cases like that. You know, a lot of homies, like Charlotte has a big drug addiction problem in general, in particular the area that I used to chill a lot in. The east side, I mean, every side has its, you know, demons, but like the east side, particularly like Plaza Midwood area and stuff like that, it's a lot of heroin addicts out there. It's a lot of cats that I've met that you know, would be good 1 year, and then like I've seen drugs take niggas under to the point where I've lost a lot of homies from drugs, even if it isn't to the point of like they overdose. It's situations and cases like my other boy, where he drunk himself to the point where he didn't put his seatbelt on and went through the windshield. And so it's just like, I've seen that effect on so many people, to where it was just like, I knew if I continued to go down that route, I would have been another statistic.
Yeah.
And so it came down.
I hate you had to endure that, but it's a lesson to realize.
I don't hate none of it. Like, yeah. I don't hate none of it now. Like, I hated it at that moment.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I hate it, like, you know, just like what you went out with. Like, I hate that you went through that experience, but at the same time, I'm glad you went through it, because it got you to get to a point of, you know, therapy through your EP, you know, and getting that stuff out in that realm, and putting together a solid body of work. And so you hate the stuff at the beginning, but then when you look back on it,
you don't regret it.
Yeah. And then you might meet a homegirl that's going through a similar situation like that. Like, same with me with like drug abuse. Like, I get cats hitting me up like, yo, man, like, that's dope that it's been that 1 year sober. Like, I'm going through it myself, man. Let's work out. Like, you know, like, I'm trying to calm down drinking myself. Like, transparency is very big. You know, like, when people see like that relatability, it's just like, you know, it's like Superman taking his cape off.
Yeah.
And like taking a shit. It's just like, yo, I didn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, Superman, no. Like, you're seeing Superman, like, take his cape, like, say you see Superman, like, saving somebody, and then he just like, oh, shit, like, I gotta go take a shit. Like, if he said that, people be like, damn, Superman a real one, man. Like, yeah. He relatable.
No, I posted, this just came to me one day. I had posted up, if you air yourself out, nobody can ever hang you out to dry. And yeah. I feel like, I always, whenever I just be real about some stuff, I think about, the 8 Mile cipher, you know, the freestyle when he got to the end.
I am a fucking bum.
But nobody could say anything because he already aired himself out about it. So I always try to, I don't know, it might be good, it might not, but I just try to tell my stuff before anybody else can.
That's where I am at. And you know why I got to that point? Because when I went through my phase of drug abuse heavy, when I had that overdose, I took a break from going out. And I came back to the neighborhood. I came back to Midwood and started hearing mad stories. Like, cats was just like, yo, man, I heard this nigga was on crack. Like, on some, like, now I was out here. Like, I was, like, it's transparent. I was snowing coke, all that. I was on the bag. And so it was just like, I was getting it in. But the stories you be hearing about yourself, I was like, yo, nigga, like, I was at the crib, dog. Like, it wasn't that bad. And so that showed me, though, like, what niggas like. I was like, damn, these niggas, and some these were cats that I told I had a problem. Like, these are cats that I went to for help. I was just like, yo, man, I got a problem, and they out here telling people my story like that. And so that showed me how shiesty people can be, how like knowing the difference between associates and really truly friends. Like, the people that are like really my friends, like, they just extended. I don't even call them friends. Like, they're extended family at this point. I either have associates or I got family. Because if I really fuck with you, like, you like family.
Yeah.
And so dealing with that situation, it showed me that, and it showed me I came out with an Instagram where I was just like, I told people my struggles. And then even with the sobriety thing, I told people about the accident. I told people about I showed them my process of healing and then going to the gym and all that. And so I beat them to the punch. Like how you said, I became transparent. And when you do that, You're vulnerable, but at the same time, that vulnerability opens up doors for people to be relatable.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like, is the universal, like, it helps to get to the purpose of what the universal purpose, I think, is with this is love. You know, I feel like God wants us to love on one another and spread that love to each and every one.
Exactly.
Each other. And you get that through, you know, relatability, yeah, and transparency, and, you know, yo, bro, I feel your pain, man. I lost my mom too. Or like, yo, man, I feel you. Like, I used to snort coke. Like, you know, like, that relatability opens up doors where people can talk and you have bonds.
I used to snort coke too. Okay, hey, so
cheers, cheers to surviving that as well.
We survived that.
We survived the bag. We survived the bag. Now we get into the bag.
That
part. The real bag. For sure, man. We went through everything, and now here we are. We still standing. We still strong.
Yeah.
So that's all about going through those experiences and standing and looking back. Be like, dang, like it's like the evolution of man. Like, you started like this. And then you look back 3-4 years and you're like, dang, I'm brought up. Like, dang, yeah, like, I'm.
But that's the beauty
that.
Of it.
That's
it's
the beauty
the,
of
it's
it.
It's the story, mm-hmm, and the journey and getting through things. If you didn't experience things, you couldn't help nobody else out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of it, being able to help somebody else get through it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree 100%. So what were some of your influences growing up?
I like a lot of 90s music. I listened to a lot of Biggie, like, all through high school.
Big.
And Biggie is, like, one of my, like, top rappers. I think it's everybody, but Biggie, Tupac, somebody that I think influences my sound the most is Snoop Dogg.
Mm. Snoop Dogg is my top five.
Mm. Snoop Dogg, the reason, I just feel like such a stan, but the reason why I love Snoop Dogg so much is because Snoop Dogg is just Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He's just, he cool. He know how to be funny when he want to be. It's just, he do what he wants to do. And I like that shit. And I like how he just be like, yeah. I just think that the shit he do is just, for shizzle my nizzle. Like, that shit, like, nigga,
he
I
mad,
love you.
He mad playing with
it. I love you, nigga.
I love you.
No, I love Snoop Dogg. That's my nigga.
Me too. I was just talking to somebody a month ago because, you know, they've been doing, since pandemic, it's evolved now to, like, it's huge. But remember, Versus started during, like, pandemic time,
yeah,
where you had, like, all these different goats, like, doing, like, Versus against each,
yeah,
other. And one of my favorite ones was the Snoop Dogg versus DMX one. And I remember I rewatched it about a month ago, and me and my friend were talking about just, like, top fives in general. And I was like, man, you know who I don't hear is in a lot of niggas' top five, but is in my top five? Like, probably West Coast niggas will put him in there. It's Snoop Dogg. Like, yeah, this nigga is in my dead or alive top five. What that nigga did for Death Row and took Death Row to a whole nother level. He put the West Coast, like, Dre had it with NWA, but, like, universally, Snoop Dogg, bro.
Snoop Dogg was, like, the... There's a song, I can't remember which one, by Biggie, but he was like, I just want to sell a million records like Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop Dogg was like the top, like...
He was the imprint. He was the blueprint.
Yeah, the blueprint. Like, everybody wanted to be like Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was dope that everybody wanted to be like Snoop Dogg, because Snoop Dogg was just being himself.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Snoop Dogg talked about the stuff he went through, but Snoop Dogg was just Snoop Dogg. And that's why I appreciate that nigga. I feel like I don't know that nigga, but I know that nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I love him. And yeah, I just love that man so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's dope that he got Death Row back.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just seen that couple days ago.
That's amazing, mm-hmm, to me. I want to meet him one day. Hopefully, I can meet him one day.
Yeah, we're putting it out there in the universe.
Yeah, I'm,
you know,
putting that out because,
for sure, same.
I probably cry.
Whoever meet him first, we got to get the other one to come.
Yo, I'm gonna be like, look, I met him. Come
on, FaceTime him or something. Like, yo, like, get me on FaceTime. Like, yo, I got Snoop on FaceTime, dog.
I love Snoop.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Snoop was very influential, and influential to a lot of people because it showed people, like, on a business sense, what they did with Death Row and pushing Snoop like that. It showed people a blueprint, particularly, like, black entrepreneurs who was doing it. At the same, Puff was doing it at the same time, but Death Row blew first, and so it showed them an image of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, this guy is painting a picture of, like, where he's from and, like, what he's doing, to where Biggie was already there flow-wise and being, like, a lyrical beast, but he got the persona of Big Papa and giving people a image of himself from that. mm-hmm. from like taking it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Like that, like influences like that took Big to a whole nother level, where he came with this, yeah, I'm big, yeah, I'm dark skinned, but I'm playing with this thing. I'm smooth. Like his body language was smooth, just like how his flow was smooth and jazz. Like, and
yeah.
so like he took that whole persona from seeing individuality from Snoop.
Yeah.
Because before, if you remember, like even like you can go back to the picture with like Pac, he got he bandanaed up. He still looked like he on the block. Like, you know, like he looked like he was still serving, because he kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He was still serving cats at that time. Like, but he looked like a street cat, to where it's like you seen the transition where he had the Kango, like just flowing and a vibe. Like Snoop influenced a lot of stuff. Snoop influenced Pac going over there. Snoop influenced a lot. And so like I put him in my top five because of what he did, not just for the West Coast, but for like a nation. Because like at that time, like here in Charlotte, like it was either like West Coast or it was East Coast. Me growing up anyway, because like in my household, it was predominantly West Coast. Like my sisters, my brothers, my brother was a big Pac fan, was a big Snoop fan. So that's all that I was listening to. So I didn't even really get into like I knew about Biggie, but I literally was acting like I was in that West Coast, East Coast beef. Like I was just like, I ain't fucking with that nigga. Like, you know, like it's Death Row nigga. Like, you would have thought I was from Compton or some shit. And so I was heavily influenced by West Coast culture and West Coast shit. And I, like I said, I didn't even get into that until like East Coast stuff until like high school.
Yeah.
But that, going back to Snoop, yeah. Like I can talk about Snoop all day. So that's dope.
Same.
That's dope to hear somebody else. You the first one on here, like even brought him up. Like,
I love that man.
Wise, you know? So Big, Snoop. Female wise, like any females that caught your attention early on, or just like
Lil Kim, definitely, because I just love Lil Kim. Because I used to listen to me and my sister used to be in the car, and I used to listen to Get Money, and I used to like rap her whole rap, and I fell in love with her music. Other females, I love Nicki Minaj.
Nicki's like, a goat.
Yeah, what definitely. I think she's just
high school. She's underappreciated. Or you think she gets the credit she deserves?
I think she gets the credit she deserves, and then some. Like as she should, because I feel like she commercialized stuff, and she made a name for herself that I feel like nobody can ever take from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like she's an amazing rapper. She's a lyricist. She's dope. I love her. I like Remy Ma. That's a real thug ass bitch. I like that shit.
Mm-hmm.
She a cutthroat ass bitch. Mm-hmm. And I
sexy,
like that.
But has the lyrical
but
ability
cut
of a
nigga.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, yes. Mm-hmm. I fuck with that.
You got that vibe.
You think I get that cut a bitch, cut a nigga vibe?
You have the vibe where it's like you got a tone and how you rap where it's like you can. Just like Remy can talk about that sexy shit. She can talk about that nigga, I'll get a nigga on you type shit.
Well, that means
a
lot.
And then you have the persona, like, you know, like, and then you're a beautiful chick. So it's something different. I don't know. It's just something about a chick talking like that. It'd be like, God, dog, she barring niggas up like she one of them. Nigga, I'll cut you type shit. But at the same time, you still got some heels on and like got your nails done type. It's something about that. Like,
yeah.
Just shows you like the many talents of like, and the beauty really of what women do. Like they can walk and chew gum with the best of these niggas, but at the same time, nigga, I got this French manicure. You know, like
I go toe to toe with niggas.
At the same time, like that's a dope balance. That's dope to see. And like you said, Kim was like that. I feel like Kim was the blueprint for Nicki, where it's just like I can bar these niggas up, but at the same time, I can get sexy with it as well.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a dope combination to have. And I don't think Nicki gets that much credit. But I'm biased because like I look at that era of like Young Money, and I feel like they'll get it maybe like 20 real niggas know in hip hop, but when it comes to those particular three, Wayne, who I'm about to say anyway, Wayne, Nicki, Drake, it was a lot of hate towards all three of them. It was a lot, especially particularly with Drake and particularly with Nicki, but they influenced a lot of niggas, like with their 10 year spans, decade span. Like niggas know what's really good with that, and so I feel like that'll come later on down the line, the respect, I feel like. Because when you're in the moment, we're still in the moment of Nicki. We're still in the moment of Drake. Like, when you, it's kind of like how I watched The Last Dance, like with that Michael Jordan documentary. Like, I was able to live for that last three-peat, but I didn't realize how dope of a, he was that nigga, like ball playing wise, like how he was like running through these teams, because I wasn't appreciating that moment. But then when you look back at it, be like, damn, like, Drake really been running shit for a decade. Like, he really been beasting on these niggas. Like, damn, Nicki really did become an icon that was on, like, Girls Kissing Girls with Gucci Mane. She went from Girls Kissing Girls to, like, moment of life to
She's still in it. So that's why.
You don't appreciate it.
She let up. So it's like, you know, we can't be like, oh, she was, because she still is. And I think that's what that is.
Yeah. That may have a lot to do with it as well. And that's probably why I don't hear it as much, because they're still in it. Yeah. But then, I mean, you could say, like, Jay ain't still in it, really. I mean, he in it when he want to be, but Jay ain't. I feel like they crown people earlier. That's all, like, that I feel like some of them deserve it, and then I don't think some of them do. Not that early, as opposed to other people that are like I said, a Wayne or, you know, like a Nicki or a Drake. Like, they don't crown them as early as other people, because they crowned Hov early, but he's he well deserved it. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I still get that maybe it's because he's from the South, Wayne being from the South, Drake being from Canada, Nicki being a woman, you know, like, not like how they should.
Yeah. So Wayne is like one of my top two. I didn't put that in there. I listen to this nigga shit and be talking to myself like, bro, I can't believe that nigga. This nigga is ill. I love Lil Wayne. I love that nigga so much. I don't know. Music just makes me want to cry sometimes. I just love it so much.
Yeah. It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic, and it's a language. It's a universal language that can get a lot of different people talking. Even if you don't know that language, like, I've been in concerts with cats, you know, like, I used to just randomly go to, reggaeton spots and, like, listen to their music, and, like, I ain't know nothing that dude was saying, but, like, I understood the vibe, like, I understood the energy, I understood the tone of how he was saying it, and just, like, that relatability of, like, feeling that, like, you still get that even if there's a language barrier there, like, music does that for people. Which is dope. So, it's therapeutic. I'd be nothing without it, you know? It was a way for me to
vent. Trust me, I feel the same way.
Let's get into, we know the influences, and then what was the start for you, singles or going straight to, like, the project mode of something like a Grits? Like, would you say, like, you did a couple of, well, it was like a freestyle, right? I want to say, or was that just meeting Phils? Like, the Phils situation was him seeing you flow on, like, was it Instagram or was it Facebook?
Yeah, we met at a party. I think that was definitely I was doing, like, freestyles in my car. And me and him met at a party, and I had posted a freestyle, and he hit me up. I appreciate him so much, because I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for him.
Shout out to Phils, yo.
Yeah, shout out to him.
He look out for a lot of people.
He deserves. He gonna get everything he deserves. And I firmly believe that. And I know that because that nigga's, I feel like, one of the top producers in the world to me.
Yeah.
But we met at a party, and I did a freestyle in my car, and he hit me up. I came over to his house. He gave me, we skimmed through these beats. He gave me a beat, and it was the Mistress song. That's one of my favorite songs. It was just like yesterday. It feels like yesterday, but I rapped on it, and then when I think I just released stuff here and there, little instrumentals, and would go to his house and record stuff. Then I just started working on my project. No, I dropped a Christmas song, and then I started working on my project, and I'll go to his house and we make beats. And that's how it started. And so, I've just been doing it ever since.
I didn't mean about interrupt you, but so the Christmas songs came first. And then even backtracking before that, though, when did you feel like you wanted to do it? Like, in a sense of, like, you knew you had this in you to like rap and flow? Like, when did that even start, in the sense of like before even meeting Phils? Because like, can we say that Phils production wise is like your Timbaland to a degree?
Hell yeah. That's the, I miss you, that nigga Timbaland.
Yeah.
That nigga just be on the keys like this. Like, that nigga just ridiculous to me. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Autumn kind of said the same thing. In a sense, it was like Phils does a lot of stuff to where he like my Timbo.
Hell yeah.
But like, before meeting him, like, with the freestyles, like, when did you have that confidence to do that? To, like, you know, get... Because that takes a lot of confidence to, like, yo.
Yeah.
You know, you probably have freestyled outside of a camera, like, thousands of times before you actually really have the confidence to be like, you know what, I'm gonna let these niggas know I can rap. So when did you finally have that confidence to like put it out there and show people like, yo, I can really do this?
Well, I feel like what initially started it, and it was crazy because I didn't intend for it to happen. I would go to like the Hip Hop Wednesday nights at Common. I go there fucked up.
Dang, that's a throwback. That was a good event.
I used to be fucked up, like, bitch, how are you standing? Mm-hmm. And they would do the little ciphers in the back, and I would just come and get fucked up and just go on a mic, and I just liked that people was fucking with it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I literally wasn't like even trying, but I was just rapping like the most nastiest shit I could because that's how I was feeling because I was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And people was fucking with it. And then I started going to God, what is the name of that? What is it called?
Nocturnal.
That was I used to have so much fun.
Shout out to Aswell. Shout out to Nocturnal. That was an event that really highlighted artists in the hip hop scene. You can go there and cipher and network. And that was a good Monday night spot. You know,
I used to go there and be on the mic rapping, talking about a bunch of nothing. And then people used to fuck with it. So then I started doing the car stuff. And then I met him, and then we just started working on stuff. And I think that's where it started, was just going to the little ciphers and trying to rap and getting, because the first time I went, I was rapping, and I think I was like a little inebriated, and he was like, bro, get her off the mic. And I was like, oh no, I'm coming back.
Who was like that? Aswell?
No, Phils? Shadow.
Shadow? Okay.
He was like, get her off the mic. And I was like, oh nigga, I'll be back next Monday.
That's right, because Shadow would be in the back, Aswell would be in the front.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I came back with some written shit like, oh, hold the fuck up.
Don't challenge me, nigga.
And that's where it started. That's what's up. It feels like yesterday too.
Yeah, man, time flies. I was just thinking about that. I seen Aswell for the first time in like three, four years at Snug Harbor. This was probably like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that. Just like that era. Like, I was like, man, like moments like Nocturnal. Moments moments like Player Made. Yeah. I was telling him, I was like, yo, niggas need to be documenting this shit. Like I hope, like, I know what Elevator he got, like, shouted, like, Surf, like, people that take pictures and stuff like that. But, like, that whole scene, like maybe I'm speaking into existence, like, Charlotte hip-hop scene is a hell of a documentary. Yeah. Just like how it started to where like the process of like these different spots, like Breakfast Club, like daggone, like back in the day with that, to like the Nocturnal era. Mm-hmm. Like that was a season to like, yeah, I mean, you can even put Common Market, like shout out to like Dig, like because Dig used to work at Common Market, was the one who organized that and really influenced them to like want to do a Wednesday night hip hop. So like I give them even that to like doing that. I wish they would bring it back. Maybe one day they will.
I hope so.
Is everything. Because I feel like that was a good... I met a lot of people networking from that. Like, going to that Wednesday night thing.
Just glad I caught everything when I did. And I'm so blessed to have experienced that stuff. Because that stuff changed my life. It's crazy how you go into something just wanting to get fucked up and just be a drunk-ass bitch. But it started me being a creative and rapping and... I'm very thankful for that, and I hope they bring that stuff back for real. We need stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a group effort. Like I was telling people with, and I say this all the time. Like cities like your Detroit's, like your Atlanta, like I could go to Atlanta and hear an artist that is not a mainstream Atlanta nigga on the radio, and shit'll be fire. But I say that to say they support even the underground Atlanta. Like, it's an Atlanta underground hip hop station where it's just like, we don't have that to the point of like having like Nadia on Power 98. Or like, you know, having like Cuzzo on Power 98.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like that's a big key of it as well. Is like, it takes a group effort to get to the level. Almost the old expression, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. The child being Charlotte hip hop. Like, it takes blogs, it takes podcasters, it takes artists, it takes photographers, the ones that blow, like coming back. And like, it's a group effort to get it to that level. And like, I feel like we're at a beautiful stage to where, like I said, a 5-year span. I feel like the people who are not stingy and want it to grow are getting themselves in positions to where it could really grow. It could really blossom to something beautiful. But, you know, just like planting something, it takes time. And it's definitely planted. The seeds are planted. Yeah. You know, you got beautiful seeds planted everywhere. You got like people like Loop, you know, shout out to Loop with Dreamville. You got like De Niro. You got, you know, Hot Boy Shaq. Like, everybody this generation is like, it's the people, it's like Chess is definitely putting themselves in position to where when you get the other one that's going to blow, like, it's going to be, because I feel like the only reason it hasn't got to the level of what people are expecting is that, and not to say, you know, no disrespect to DaBaby, like, shout out to DaBaby, because his hard work is what got him to that point. Like, I say that about that nigga been working for a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen his hard work. I've seen the nigga going to these events back in the day, like, passing out flyers. He continued to work. And I feel like I tell people all the time, the reason DaBaby is in the position he's in is because the team that he got, because teamwork made the dream work, and he just outworked y'all niggas. Like, that nigga just never stopped. And like, part of it is consistency. Consistency is key. And having the right team is key. And so when people have the right team and then be consistent, if whoever that person is, I feel like will be a person who wants to connect to everybody. You know, like, because I see it. It's in the making. It's just time. And then getting that right dude that's really going to be like, I want like a Young Thug.
Yeah,
I have this debate all the time. Who's better, Young Thug or Future? Future, of course, flawless. He does what he does. But I tell people all the time, I would rather be with Thug. Because if you look at all the people that Thug has brought out, like, and when he blew, like, that nigga paid Lil Baby to stay in the studio and not be in the streets. Because he was like, bro, like, I believe in you. Like, that nigga brought Gunner up. You know what I'm saying? He got keyed up. You know, these people are superstars now. And so, like, he brings people out of his community and turns them into stars. And so you need somebody like that in that mind frame. And that's how Charlotte will get to that level as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely needed. And now that you mentioned that, I wanted to shout out my homeboy Twan, because he, when I was making my project, and it takes people like this, I didn't have a lot of money and I still don't. But struggling, but we get through it. I didn't have a lot of money and I wanted to go to the studio a whole lot. And that's another person, my friend Twan. I met him at Common. He would invest his money.
Wait a minute, I know Twan from Winston-Salem.
Twan is that nigga. Shout out to Twan.
Shout out to Twan, man. He was supposed to do the podcast.
Look, Twan is an angel.
He a good dude, man.
He's an amazing person with a good spirit. And he always, I can always hit him up if I don't have enough money, because I am not fronting. I ain't got it like that all the time.
Yeah.
And I'll hit Twan up like, hey, Twan, I need $40. You know, I ain't got it. And he'll send it. Like, just make sure you book it. Send me the song when you're done. It takes people like that to really help, you know, get you where you need to go. And God sent him to me, and I'm very grateful. So I wanted to shout him out. I know that might be off topic, but.
No, it's definitely definitely on topic. You know? Yeah. All of this is on topic because it takes a village, or it takes whatever I was saying earlier. It takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And, you know, those moments is what we're here for. Mm-hmm. Like, those universal love moments, whether it's holding a door for somebody, not physical door, but, you know, metaphorical in that sense as well, too. Yeah. You know, like, yo, man, I see your talent. And I believe in you. And he did that with my boy Michael. Like, I don't know.
Oh, you know Mike? Went.
Yeah, I know Mike. That be singing
shout
his ass
out to Mike.
Off.
I'm shouting everybody out today.
This is a shout out show. That's all I do most of the time anyway, is shout niggas out when people bring him to my mind, be like, yeah, shout out to that nigga.
Shout out to Mike.
Because it's all about giving people their flowers. Yeah. You know, I'm not hesitant to ever. I've never been one to hate. Like, even if I see niggas doing better than me, like, it motivates me. Like, if anything, I'll ask niggas questions and be like, yo, man, how'd you do this? Like, how you get to that point? How you get to that point? But I've always been in that mind frame of, like, because, and I think it's because I'm born and raised here, I want Charlotte to blow. I want Charlotte to grow. And that's why I haven't left. That's why I decided to stay here. Because, like, I've had the situation where it's like, you know, like, staying in West Coast and maybe, like, people telling me, like, yo, you should move to New York. Like, I was going to move to Brooklyn. And but it's something that tugs me with Charlotte. And I think what it is, because, like, I see the potential of it. I'm from here. And I want to be involved in that bubble bust when I know it's going to hit. Because when that bust is going to bust, and I want to be, even with this, you can look back. Y'all going to be doing y'all thing. Phil's, you, daggone De Niro, look back and they'll be like, yo, man, that dude was the first interviewing these niggas back in the day when they were, like, still in the city type shit. And so it's like, you wanna have your foundation, and that'll be a foundation for the next nigga that's, you know, 20 years down the line, he's seen somebody from Charlotte doing podcasts, and he like, well, if Titus did that, I can do it too, man. I got a voice. I'll be the new voice. And, like, it takes that, like, community-based, like, me talking to, like, a No Limit, and, like, him telling me, like, yo, bro, this is how you do it. Like, this is how you, like, interview people. Like, it takes that.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're going to have people being raised that don't know what to do when they get in certain situations, and because they didn't have no guidance. They ain't had no OGs. Like, they, and that's the problem now. You got a lot of people, because the OGs are not coming back and, like, giving people advice. They're getting into these positions, and they don't know how to keep the positions. Because, like, they ain't never had nobody guiding them. You got a bunch of young niggas with bread that don't got no guidance. And so when they finally do get where they want, they don't care about these old niggas, because, like, them old niggas didn't care about us. And so, like, why would I care about y'all when y'all been running the radio for the past 30 years and not put not one Charlotte nigga on unless they paid you to do it or some shit? And so, you know, like, niggas look at shit like that. And so I say that to say, it's dope when you find people like a Twine, you know, like a De Niro, like a No Limit, like a Sporty Orty, you know, niggas that really want to, like, see the city grow.
Absolutely.
That's how it's going. That's how it builds. Yeah. How it should be.
Absolutely. I definitely. And I appreciate that nigga with all my heart. He know that, though.
For sure. For sure. He a good dude. We got to get him on here.
Yeah.
Grits. Grits. How'd that come about? You like grits?
I
already know what it stands for, but let the audience know what your, like, your alphabet.
Well, I do like grits with cheese. I do.
That's the only way I eat them.
For sure. And a little bit of milk. But I was listening to, and it's crazy because I would go to Player Made and listen to, like, the old school Southern stuff. And I feel like that influenced grits.
Shout out to Elevator Jam.
Shout out to him, because going there, listen to that stuff. I used to listen to Webby. Then Wipe Me Down. I was like, fuck it, I need to make some shit like this. And I just wanted to, like, shout out to the Southern side of things, like New Orleans, North Carolina, Atlanta, even Miami, like, just give the little taste of the South. And I just thought about grits. I was going to name it something else, but I told somebody about grits, and they was like, oh, that's dope. So I just named it grits, and that's how that came about.
Was Phil a part of that? Phil's was part of that as well?
Hell yeah. I think he made 8 of the 12 tracks. I think it's, is it 12 or 13? Whatever. He made 8 of them. So he put his foot in that shit.
put his foot in
that
it.
Shit.
As he does with everything, man.
Absolutely.
Gosh, he has so many different, like, lanes he can step into.
And that's the beauty of it. That nigga is just amazing.
He's an underrated genius, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what I see who he helps and, like, what he does, like.
He has an ear for good music, too. He knows good shit. Like, I know he ain't gonna make me know stupid shit.
And an ear for talent.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of females that want to rap, and it's a lot of females that do rap, and they don't got it. Like, they just in it because, like, they got a nigga in it, and, like, he funding it. He don't really, like, I mean, for real, I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass, like, but he don't really believe in it. Like, she probably loves to rap, but she's not good at it.
Yeah.
Like, some people just don't got it. And, you know, practice does make perfect, and you can get a certain level. Like, I don't care if I'm doing practice every day. Like, if I'm 5'4", it may be really hard for me to get into the NBA. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, certain things, like, you just can't control. Some things are just God-given, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's the same with that. Like, I've seen people, I am definitely not going to disrespect them and naming them, but I've seen people that's been flowing for, like, 20 years, and it's still the same. Like, it's just, like, their levels ain't got the same. It's just, like, you just may not got it. But and not in the sense of, like, it's not a passion thing, because I don't care if you're good at it or not. If you're passionate about it and love it, like, be sucky at it and do it. But I'm talking about people in the realm of, like, getting into the music business and trying to be in the music business, and then like, they don't make it, and just like, oh man, like, these niggas hating on me. Like, I don't know, bro, you may not just be good. Like, it may just not be it, bro. But like,
not really though.
I say that to say, like, it takes a good recipe to, like, have somebody that has all of it. And Phils knows that, and he's seen that in you, because you, like I said, I'm talking previously about it. You got all of it. Like, I was listening to you, I was like, oh, okay. You got a tone where it's like, it draws you in to listen. Mm-hmm. You got the look. You apparently got the pen. Like, and so, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people ain't writing for themselves either. Let's call a spade, you know? So, even if, like, you getting, like, it's fine. Like, ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, people writing for you, but to be able to write your own hooks, or, you know, write your own verses, be a part of that process, that's big and will be very effective down the line. You know, when you deal with, like, stuff like publishing and stuff, man, you know, when we start getting into the music business, that's big. You know, you might write for another female.
I would love that, honestly. Mm-hmm. I really would. That's one of my goals, is to write for somebody who is notable. I'm putting that into the universe. This is recorded. I feel like that gives it an extra.
Yeah, extra boost.
Like, I can go back to this shit. Like, I said it and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. I appreciate people who don't write their stuff. I just appreciate anybody creative, but I appreciate people who took the time to, because it takes a lot to write something.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. Yeah, and it takes a lot of guts to put yourself up. Anybody who's a creative in Charlotte, just in general, I commend them, because with creating stuff, you're putting it open to be criticized.
Yeah.
Because people are going to talk shit if they don't like it, and you just have to be like,
fuck it.
Yeah, like, if they don't fuck with it, they don't fuck with it. It's stuff that I don't put out, people don't fuck with. It's just, you might put something out and everybody flock to it. You might put something out and nobody wants to listen to it. It's just a constant. It's kind of like a mind game, but when you do something you love, you don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that, because like, I feel like that was my biggest thing, was getting over that hump of, like, criticism, like, with anything, whatever I did, whether it was, like, looks I was going through, whether it was music, whether it was this, like, everybody, it's 7 billion people on the earth, bro. Like, everybody ain't gonna fuck with it.
Yeah.
But you might get, you know, like, a lot of my people, like, when it comes to this podcast, the city fuck with it, but some of the people in the city don't. But I may get people from, like, Switzerland fucking with it. You know, like, you start looking at different Spotify stuff. Like, I get people from, like, Switzerland listening to this, UK listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I say that to say your fan base can come from anywhere, you know, depending in the era that we're in now, like, the internet, social media era, like, you see some of these people that they got the biggest just from niggas that are in Montana somewhere that's fucking with their shit. And so I think that's what gave me the boost as well, in realizing, A, I can't please everybody.
No.
And B,
that's impossible.
My base may not come from Charlotte. You know, like, I'm from here. Charlotte will be in me whether my base is here or not. You know, your base may not come from Charlotte. It may come from daggone Hawaii. It may come from Miami, Atlanta. Like, who knows? You may not, like, in the old scripture, like, a prophet don't get respect in this city. And so, like, I've gone through that phase with everything from love to dealing with the politics of, like, dealing in, music. Like, a lot of the times, like, some of my biggest relationships I look back from, like, them women weren't even from Charlotte. Like, they either came to Charlotte and they moved here freshly, and I just so happened to meet them at that time, or I met them online and we met and I ended up staying with them, or they ended up coming, moving to Charlotte. You know, they weren't born and raised in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that back in the day, I'd be like, dang, like, these Charlotte girls ain't showing me no love. What's going on? But it really was like timing, you know, like sometimes it be like that. Like, sometimes it may not come from your base, your home. It may come, like I said, it's 7 billion people on this earth. Your new nigga may be from Charlotte. Your new nigga may be from Montana. Like, you know, you just never know. Or your new partner, I don't know what. Like, yeah.
Shout out to the lesbians, though. I ain't against it, but I need some dick.
Your new... she said, this is dick over here. this team dick. But...
And put that out there.
Yeah, but I said that. I didn't know the situation, so. But ain't nothing wrong with that, you know, like...
Yeah.
It may come from anywhere. That's what I'm saying. Like, it'll come when it comes. Like you said something earlier, and I can't remember. It was like dealing with like God, or what were you saying? Like it was before. Like it'll come when it comes, or something like that.
Yeah, God will put you in positions when it's time. Sometimes I feel like with me, you know, I was just talking to somebody today, and I was telling them, you know, I don't. And the people might look at this as terrible, but I allow myself time to explore my life and figure out where I'm headed and go through things so that I have things to write about. And I don't pressure myself when I'm not feeling it. Mm. And I feel like sometimes you just got to allow things to happen the way they're supposed to happen. And I don't know, just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy being able to. Somebody wrote me something on Instagram the other day, and they were like, yo, I love your music. Somebody I don't even know. Mm. I was like, I love your music. It makes me think, and it just puts me in a different mindset. And I listen to it every day. And it's just like, if you could even do that with just one person, that's a blessing, you know? And you have to enjoy the moments that you're in before you elevate to greater heights, if that makes sense. So I just enjoy the fact that somebody listen to the shit. It might be somebody in damn Hong Kong. They listening to the shit.
Yeah.
They might be the only person to listen to it, but it's changing their life. And I just see the blessing in things.
Yeah. And that's what I had to do, is really sit back and look at the bigger picture and look at the blessings of things.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who really is loving me, who really is, you know, riding for me. Like, who am I affecting? My nephew and stuff like that really rely on my input. And so when you do that and like really look at what you got, it makes everything a lot more smoother.
Yeah,
it's just like you become grateful and blessed, because a lot of people don't even have that.
Yeah,
you know, like I got a mom, I got a pops, you know, like some people lose their people early. You know, like me and my pops, we weren't on the best of terms early on in life, but we to a point now, he like top three niggas I talk to. It's just like as we got older as men, like I start seeing like, because I went through a phase where I was like, I don't need that nigga for nothing. Like, we get old, like, it is what it is, nigga. But I start seeing how you need that fatherly input, even especially being a black man. Like, you still need that advice of, like, knowing, like, my history. Like, I'm really big on, like, being a historian of my family and, like, knowing where we started, where we came from. And it's only certain things I can know from talking to him. Yeah. So, like, knowing generational curses, like, what did you deal with? Oh, you suffered from alcoholism, too. Oh, uncle so-and-so suffered from it. Like, so this is a timeline family thing, a bloodline thing that I need to nip in the bud here. And so, like, you only know how to battle certain things if somebody gives you the blueprint.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And that's, you know, we all have our childhood trauma that we deal with, but I've just lately been like healing through some of the things I went through, and I realized who I am today is so much. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I'm very emotional.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Who I am today is because of my parents.
Shout out to the parents, yo. It take.
And I feel like we harbor like ill feelings towards things we've been through in our life, but we have to realize that at the end of the day, we wouldn't be who we are without our parents. And me being able to rap, I was listening to one of my songs the other day and I just started crying because I'm a Jamaican. And I just heard the Jamaican in me. And I feel like that comes from my dad. And me being able to rap comes from my mom, because She was Kevin. A poet. So, I'm sorry.
You good?
I don't even know how this happened.
You good, girl. Oh, we're getting into it. I mean, it comes with conversation. Conversation is all about stuff like this, being transparent and, you know, opening up. And, you know, like, I do that all the time. It's plenty of times where I've had, like, going through certain moments of, like, just now, like, with my pops. And, like, you know, my pops had a rough year. Like, been battling cancer all through this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I would think about that, like, as I get older, I look at mortality and be like, dang, like, all the stuff I survived. And then, like, you look at my pops that's surviving this and but fighting and keeping the faith in God. And I'm like, man, don't take him at this moment where I feel like our relationship has gotten that strong now. But it made me think I would be at peace with it because we didn't end on bad terms.
Yeah.
And so, like, I see the full circle effect of that as well, where it's like, God forbid he dies. I mean, he gonna survive this because, like, he's gotten good results now and all that. But at the same time, it showed me how it was just like, man, like, that would be crazy. Like, I get to this point where, like, I'm in a good place with him and then, like, he takes me away from him. But at the same time, it's a gift because, like, it made me be grateful of the where I got the good stuff about me from. You know, like, knowing my history of, like, you know, really talking to him and knowing, like I told KB, I didn't know my pops was in this. I knew he was in the military, but I didn't know he was in the special ops until, like, this year. Like, just sitting down and really having conversations. And so it makes you, like, it makes you have the moments that you just did. Like, be more appreciative of where you came from and, like, all the stuff that he went through, you know, to get into the point of, like, helping, trying to raise me. And, like, my mom especially, like, my mom, when they broke up, like, she put all of us on her back and, like, was working and doing her daggone thing. And so we've gotten to a point where she's, like, my best friend. Not to say she was never not, but she worked so much when I was younger. We didn't really talk about nothing.
Yeah.
But now as you get older, you have these conversations. You know where you're from. And like I said, it makes you fuck with your parents even more, you know?
Yeah, because everything you get is from them. Mm-hmm. You know, some things you do unconsciously. It's like, that's my dad and me. That's my mom and me. So you have to have gratitude and be thankful. You know, everything is not perfect, but there's beauty in struggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beauty and struggle. And I can only imagine seeing it from the other side. Like, I'm not one to want kids because that's just me. Like, to each his own.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own, I'll be a dope uncle and stuff like that. But I get it. Like, I didn't get it. Like, back in the day, like, I'd be like, man, it's like, even when it was just like 6 billion, like, I'm like, all these people on the earth, like, why are we still having kids? But as you get older and, like, see, like, my brother, like, who has kids, and, you know, I get older and, like, experience, like, the relationship with my mom and my pops, like, I get it. Like, I understand why people have kids. And even if I never have any, I enjoy seeing the process of seeing somebody, even like my nephew, who I literally seen on my bed as an infant to where he's like 18 now. Mm-hmm. And just like going through the process of learning and having talks with him about stuff like as an adult. Like,
yeah,
that's something where it's just like, man, like, that's like, I love that nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I loved him as a youngster. But like when you get older and like me and my brother, like, your relationships change as you get older, either for the good or for the bad. But when they get better for the good, like, me and my brother weren't on the best of terms, but now that nigga is literally my best friend. Like, we roommates. Like, that was growth of, like, seeing, like, and he said that, like, I remember him talking to me and was like, yo, man, I know people think, like, I hated you, but I loved you. He was like, and moments like this, like, I used to, like, be like, I can't wait for my brother to get older and we actually talk. Like, you know, like, we went through, like, the sibling rivalry when we were younger and stuff like that. But in the back of his mind, he couldn't wait for moments like this where it was like, yo, man, like, I can't wait to have, a little brother that's older and we talk. And so those moments make you reflect on life and be like, man, like, that's a blessing, man, all the stuff we went through. So I feel you, you know, being transparent like that. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I love my family.
Yeah, shout out to the family, clearly, man. For sure, for sure. Let's finish up with, like, wrapping up about, like, What are the next stages for you? What do you see in your career for just like this season in 2022? Like, cause you got already some great EPs out. You got good body of work. What's the next stage for you that you see that you want to do creatively? Is it music even, like, you know, like, cause we know you got the bars, but like what other avenues do you may want to touch?
I definitely want to get into producing a lot more. Which it takes consistency, and that's kind of my problem. But I can admit that.
Yeah, same here. That was my biggest struggle.
It's a big struggle is being consistent, not getting caught up in life. I feel like what I'm working on next is just I want to do another album, but I just want it to come from a place of just pure honesty and pure rawness. Because I feel like God puts you through, well, he doesn't put you through things, but he allows you to go through things so that you can overcome them and share the experience with somebody else and impact their life so that they can learn from it. And I want my next project that I do to be very open, honest, and authentic. And I see myself creating a new type of sound. And that's something I'm really passionate about. I don't know. But like I said, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm really just a bitch that be getting a notepad and writing shit. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not strategic with this shit, clearly. But
you're doing a good job not knowing.
Yeah, I'm trying. Look, I try. But I could try harder, but I try. I just see myself creating a sound. I don't know where it will derive from. I really have no fucking clue, but I do want to create my own type of sound. I have a sound, but I want to like explore it more.
Yeah.
So that, and that's really it. I don't see myself, I would love to act one day, but I love music so much. I just feel like I'm content in just music. That's all I really want to do is just do it. I want to do it more and have more time to do it.
Yeah, continuing to just grow and master your craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that for you, for sure. Like, I'm rooting for you. You definitely, Ben had a fan in me, and the fandom is even bigger now because, like, I understand, like, who you are as a person even more.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's definitely dope to meet you, and, like, I see you touching every avenue, putting your finger in a lot of pots, you know.
Yeah.
From modeling to daggone hip-hop to, like, you can definitely touch a lot of different pots, and so.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I didn't intend to come on here crying.
Hey, I mean,
wasn't my intention.
It's
I cry all the time.
We about being authentic here and being yourself, and so, you know, it happens. You know, you have those moments. You know, we here with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
For sure.
He done came with the tissues. So I feel respected and loved.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Give people like your socials before you get out of here. Ways to like reach you.
Instagram is Nadia Nympho. I deleted my Twitter out of just frustration. I just had a frustrating moment. Like, fuck this shit.
Me too.
I might.
I was like, I'm done with this. I hate
I'm
y'all.
I'm done with y'all, niggas. But I might get it back. And I'm on YouTube. You can look me up, Nadia Nympho. I don't have. It's just Instagram, really.
Word.
Yeah.
Streaming. Same thing. Nadia Nympho. Y'all look up her projects on streaming platforms.
Yeah.
Dope. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
You too.
This is As of Late. Thanks for listening to As of Late podcast. Be sure to follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to As of Late podcast on both of those. You can also listen to As of Late podcast on Anchor.fm and Google Podcasts.